Good morning. Welcome to First Baptist Church in Gunnersville today. We're so glad that you're here and a part of this time of worshiping the Lord. So let's begin with prayer as we recognize our Savior. Lord, we do acknowledge you today. You are our God and our Savior. This is the day you have made, and we are glad and we rejoice in it. Thank you for the beauty, Lord, of nature around us as we see your handiwork. Thank you for the beauty of people that you have placed within them your image. And we celebrate today your greatness and your love. May we see you reflected in our lives today. I pray that as we receive the Lord's Supper today, that we will remember all that Jesus has done for us and be thankful for all that you continue to do for us, Father. I pray, Lord, your blessings on our pastor as he leads us, on the choir as they sing and the congregation as they sing, and also Brother Joel brings the message, and our deacons lead us in the time of the Lord's Supper, that it'll be a real sweet time to be in your presence and to celebrate your life, your death, and your resurrection. For we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, a few weeks ago, after the 10:30 worship was over with, Thomas met me right here in the hallway, and we introduced to ourselves to each other, and I met Thomas Shadowin. And so we got to talking a little bit about his spiritual journey. And he said, "Can I come by and see you sometime this week?" And I said, "Yeah, I'd love to do that." Well, Monday he was calling, and he wanted to, "How about this afternoon?" I said, "Sounds great." So Thomas came, we sat down in my office, and we talked for about 30, 45 minutes about his spiritual journey, about his spiritual life. And then later, he said, "I know Christ is my Savior and Lord. I've just never followed Christ in believer's baptism. When can I do that?" I said, "When do you want to do it?" He said, "How about next Sunday?" I said, "Then let's do it." So here we are. This is Thomas Shadowin. Thomas and his wife joined our church last Sunday. This Sunday, Thomas is coming, saying that he wants to publicly profess Christ as his Savior and Lord. And that is what baptism is all about. Baptism is our dying to the old life, rising to new life in Christ Jesus, and it is publicly professing to our family, to our friends, to the world, Jesus is my Savior and my Lord, and I'm dying to the old and rising to new in Christ Jesus. Join me as we pray for Thomas. Father, I thank you so much for Thomas and for his life. I thank you that he knows you as Savior and Lord, that he's trusted you as Savior and Lord of his life. And I thank you that today he's coming to publicly profess Christ as his Savior and Lord. What has already happened in his heart, he is now showing as a sign, the picture of what the heart has already done. The mind has already followed. So, Father, bless Thomas as he comes to these baptismal pools today to say yes to Jesus, to publicly profess Christ as Savior and Lord, dying to the old life, coming out of the water, rising to new life in Christ Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. All right, turn around right here. There you go. Now, there you go. Upon your public profession of faith in Jesus as your Savior and Lord, I now baptize you, Thomas Shadowin, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There you go. Good job. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. All right, we're glad you're here. Those of you that are our guests today, we're glad the Lord has led you to worship with us right here at First Baptist Church, to be a part of our baptism, Lord's Supper, all that we're doing today. Glad you're here. Y'all, everybody stand, walk around, welcome your friends. Glad you're here today. Good job, Thomas. Friend. Thank you.
the blood that gives me strength from day. Lakeside Bells, they put in a lot of practice time and a lot of commitment and dedication. And you can tell the improvement since the first time they played for us last year. And they did good then, but that was excellent. Excellent, excellent. Look forward to them playing again. They're going to play again for us on Palm Sunday. So they're always in need of people who know how to read music, who can fill in or maybe like to be a part of the permanent group. We'd kind of like to expand out a little farther with more bells. So if you can read music and you're interested, you can see me or the director, Karen Farr, and let us know if you're interested in that. Right now, we're going to sing together a beautiful song of the resurrection. It's our offertory hymn, hymn number 358, Because He Lives. You can remain seated until we reach the last stanza, and then we'll stand together to receive our morning offering. So, Because He Lives.
Thank you.
Last week we shared this beautiful song with you. The choir's worked hard on it for so long, and I wanted to share it again this week. So let's sing and glorify the Lord as we sing One Day When We All Get to Heaven.
you, choir. Man, one day, all the striving, fighting the world and the devil will be over, and we will see Jesus face to face. What a great, powerful message in song. And now we are going to see what will keep our eyes and our heart and our minds focused on that day until we get there. And that is what God has given to us in Jesus. So we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper today, and we're going to do that in Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 29. As we walk through the last three chapters of the Gospel of Matthew, working our way to Easter, and then after Easter with the Great Commission. So today we're in Matthew 26, 26 through 29. Several years ago, I was reading a sermon by a Methodist minister in Texas. I don't remember the church, the Methodist church in Texas, and I don't remember his name. But I remember reading this sermon that he was preaching. It wasn't even on the Lord's Supper, but he was making a point about the Lord's Supper in the sermon that I was reading. And in this sermon, he said these words that really, really made me think and pray. What he said was this. He said, we are never more the church than when we do this. All right? We are never more the body of Christ than when we celebrate together the Lord's Supper. I thought that's a pretty strong statement. We are never, really, never, never, ever more the body of Christ, the church in the world, than when we do this, when we symbolically join together as the body of Christ around the table of our Lord and celebrate the gift that God has given to us in His Son, the body and the blood of Christ. And I thought about that and I prayed about that. And I thought, you know, I think he's right. Some would say we're never more the body of Christ than when we do missions. We're never more the body of Christ than when we do evangelism. We're never more the body of Christ than when we do, and we could name all of these different things. But I think he's probably headed in the right direction. We are never more the body of Christ than when we, the body of Christ, join together around the table of our Lord to celebrate the gift that God has given to us in the body and blood of Jesus. Let me just bring out three, four quick points, and then we'll celebrate together. First of all, because we remember at the Lord's Supper, we remember the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. The Scripture is very clear in the fact that God demands perfection as the creator of all that is life. All that has been ever created, as the creator, then he gets to demand whatever he wants to demand. I don't have a say-so in it, and you don't have a say-so in it. So God gets to decide what he will demand, and God demands perfection. Anything less than perfection is sin, and then it's death, and then it's hell. And God gets to make that demand because he's the founder. He's the creator of all that is. He doesn't grade on a curve. He's not looking for 99.9%. He's looking for absolute perfection. And this is not just with our actions. I was saying this morning in the early worship, now I grew up in a day and time, my generation, we grew up in a day and time where it was all about your actions, all right? That's kind of the way it was back when I was growing up. So we learned real quickly in church, these are the five things that you don't do, and then here's the five things that you can do. Do these five things. Don't get caught doing these five things. Did you notice what I just said there? All right? Don't let your church people see you doing these things, and do these things. Don't do this, do this, and you're golden, you're in. Imagine my surprise when I really started, when Jesus changed my life. And I really started studying the Scripture, and I realized, oh, it's not just about being good. Oh, it has nothing to do with here's the five things that you're supposed to do. Everybody's supposed to see you doing these five things. And here's the five things that you're not supposed to do. And as long as you do those things, don't do this, then everybody thinks you're golden. That's not what Christianity is all about at all. Imagine my surprise when I realized the attitudes of this heart sinful. When Jesus taught me in the greatest sermon ever preached, it's not just, Joel, about the actions of your hands, but it's the attitude of this heart you've got. Oh, and then imagine my real surprise when I found out that it wasn't just about the attitudes of my heart. It wasn't just about the actions of these hands, but it was also about the thoughts that come through this brain of mine. And I realized, man, I'm in big trouble. I need a substitute. I need somebody that's going to take over for me. And the scripture is very informative in telling us that we have one, and his name is Jesus. We are never more the church than when we celebrate the Lord's Supper together, because we remember the ultimate sacrifice for all of our sins, not just the ones that we didn't get caught doing, all of them. We're never more the body of Christ than when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, because we realize everything we are and everything we have is the gift that God has given to us. And that gift then is it shines through in the gift of the gospel, the gift of the good news. Around the table, Lord, we can't brag about our gifts or our talents or our abilities. Scripture is very clear that all of our gifts, all of our talents, all of our abilities, those are gifts that God gave to us. Paul said, he who boasts should boast in the Lord, not in man. We realize that we can't even brag about our accomplishments. If it weren't for God giving us talents and gifts and abilities, then we would never be able to accomplish anything. We're never more the body of Christ than when we celebrate the gift of life in Jesus, because we realize that everything we are and everything we have is because of the gift that God has given. We're never more the body of Christ than when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, because we see forgiveness in its truest and most precious form, the gift of His Son. We are never more the body of Christ than when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, because our worship then, not just what we sing, not just how we sing it, not the style, but our worship then, our heart and our mind, worshiping the Father then becomes pure and holy. Remember what we talked about last week. Last week, my good friend, my old seminary professor, Steve Brown, I went to see him at the Cathedral Church of the Advent in downtown Birmingham. And he was the Lenten speaker for that week for that church, and I went to see him. And I told you about how he ended this sermonette that he gave. And he said, "You know what? You believers, you're a lot worse than you think you are. Your sin is so much greater than you even know. You have no idea just how bad your sin really is." Now let me read the scripture for you, starting in verse 26. As they were eating, Jesus took some bread and he blessed it. And then he broke it in pieces and he gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take this and eat it. This represents my body." And then he took the cup of wine and he gave thanks to God for it, and he gave it to them and he said, "Each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice, to forgive the sins of many. Mark my words, I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it new with you in my Father's house." Your sin is far greater than you think it is. You have no clue how bad your sin really is. And at the same time, God loves you so much that He willingly gave His Son as a sacrifice for the sin that you have no clue just how bad it really is. God's love for us is far greater than we will ever know or ever understand. As we celebrate the Lord's Supper together, I always try to put a little something in your heart and in your brain to think about. So when you hold this little piece of bread in your hand, you hold this little cup of juice in your hand, I want you to hear these words just kind of rolling around in your head, and that is this: God is not mad at you. Did you hear that? God is not mad at you. Well, can you prove that, Joel? Yes, I certainly can. God's not mad at you. He loves you beyond what you could ever know or ever understand. God loves you. Father, thank you for that gift. Thank you for the gift of Jesus, the sacrifice of perfection for us. As I hold this little piece of bread in my hand, it represents the body of Christ hanging on the cross as my substitute for me. As I hold this little cup of juice in my hand, it represents the blood of Christ covering my sin. Your love is far greater than we will ever understand or know. So we trust that love today. Thank you, Father, for the gift of life in Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen. Deacons, if you'll come. Well, this passage of Scripture is one of the great Lord's Supper passages as we walk through Matthew. Jesus meeting with His disciples, celebrating the Passover meal, God's deliverance for His people. Jesus then took that Passover meal celebration and He turned it into what we now know as the New Covenant in His body and His blood. He took some bread and He broke it in pieces, blessed it, gave it to His disciples. Father, thank you for the gift of life in Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the little piece of bread that we hold in our hand to represent the body of Christ, the new covenant in His body and in His blood. Thank you, Father, for the gift that you have given to us. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Jesus said, "This is my body. Take and eat." He then took the cup, blessed it, gave it to his disciples. Father, thank you for the cup of blessing, what it means to us, and how this cup represents the blood of Christ that covers all of our sin. Thankful for the fact that today it doesn't cover some of my sin, and it doesn't cover most of my sin, but all of my sin. And how grateful I am for that powerful truth in Christ Jesus. Thank you for the cup and for what it represents. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Jesus said, "This is my blood which is shed for you. Take and drink."